It's 5 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. Good afternoon, Mario.
Good afternoon, Darren. How was your week so far?
It's a good week. Yeah, I've just left my headphones at home. Got the stock standard headphones. They aren't too bad, but just a bit different in the sound. And if I say anything different, it's just my feedback is a bit different in my headphones.
Well, it's summer. I think it's still here with us, but, you know, we can feel it. A little bit rain outside, but it's a nice and cool. But, you know, like, you know, don't be disheartened. You can still enjoy the warm weather in Sydney. And Darren and I will roll with our first guest. I'd like to say, before we start talking to our first guest, I'd like to say thank you to all sponsors of Live 90.5. As well, I'd like to say everybody who's listening to us in Sydney, Australia, globally, thank you for being with us. You can tune on our Facebook Business Insights with Mario and Darren, watching the live when we have a guest in the studio. Otherwise, all the information is on our Facebook, and you can find on LinkedIn as well. So, Darren, I think you're sure that we can introduce our first guest. So, like, our first guest is a truly, truly unique the person. We always have these unsung business heroes in the studio. But our first guest, Richard Bowles. Did I say this properly? Bowles?
I believe you have, yes. We'll ask him when we get him on.
We asked Richard. Richard, welcome to the studio with us.
Gents, how are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Very, very well.
Listen,
like you guys have a little bit of rain, much like ourselves down here in Victoria.
We're a bit wet, a bit cool, and not quite summer at the moment.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. It's been strange, isn't it? I mean, we've had typical Melbourne weather where it's been 31 one day and then 21 the following day.
It's same as here. Like we follow the same pattern, you know, I mean, with everything. But, you know, the good thing it is, I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the Business Insights with Darren and Mario on Alive 90.5 FM. And as well to all listeners, thank you, Richard, for finding time today with us to share some of your wisdoms. It's a truly unique opportunity to somebody of your profile talk to us. So, Richard, instead of me reading your bio, do you mind to share with our listeners, who is Richard Bowles?
Yep. Who is Richard Bowles?
Yes.
You know, sometimes I wonder if even I know the answer to that question, gents.
That's a good one, so, yeah.
Sometimes it's easier maybe to explain what I do rather than who I am, I think, and then you can sort of make your own
feel, mind. Feel free to picture. share, you know, the way you feel like it, I mean.
Well, look, I guess first and foremost, I'm probably an adventurer, though I don't really like to call myself that. But I guess that's what it is. And basically, I go out and I do extreme adventure experiments where I put myself into some pretty, I guess, risky, dangerous, somewhat ridiculous situations, really to find out what the human response is to those kind of situations and how we deal with the adverse, the difficult, the challenging, the unknown, the uncertain, and that kind of thing. And then I take that experience away and I sit down with a whole team of psychological experts and we really pull apart those adventures. And then we sort of find out what the insight is. And then we cross-reference that with neuroscience and psychology. And then we create development programs and we help leaders all around the world sort of lean into their challenges.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure that most of people will run away from the adventures, which I'm just going to read. Our world record setting adventure experiments have put us in a unique situation, from volcano eruptions, crossing crocodile infested rivers, ducking under missiles fire in desert war zones, living on the streets of India, facing disembowelment with Japanese monks, living from the land in a remote indigenous community, and so on and so on. So Richard, you know, curiosity of mine, why would you do this? What's the point to do this, please? You know, like maybe asking too directly, but, you know, like 90% of these things, I'm pretty sure Darren and I will avoid, you know what I mean? So that's for sure.
Yeah, well, look, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It is ludicrous. I understand that. But look, I guess if you mentioned a few things there, which I don't like to mention because the people think I need to be wearing a straitjacket. But I go, you said crossing crocodile infested rivers, being, you know, at the base of an exploding volcano and being rained on by ash, having a shotgun stuffed in my mouth by, let's call him an angry farmer. A whole host of, I guess, very dangerous situations, and they seem massively unrelated to most people, and that's why you sort of ask the question why.
Yeah.
But I think if you could understand the daring, the risky, the dangerous, then the thing is I can help you manage the challenge and the uncertainty of the modern world. And that's what it comes down to, really. These adventure experiments seem extreme, but really they're exactly the same as the challenges that we go through in day to day. It's just that these adventures are almost on steroids. So it highlights the problems. And I just believe that, look, if we stand any chance of leading ourselves and leading our teams and really, I guess, navigating the chaos, then we need to be able to learn how to thrive in it.
Look, certainly gives you authority and credibility because, again, I'll repeat, I truly believe 95% of people will never experience things you experience, even voluntarily or non-voluntarily. But the thing is, that gives you credibility, authority to you, train the coach, the people. But before that one, how do you decide what adventure you're going to take next? Do you feel like, you know, like, what's it called, Darren, that guy, Grizzly Bear?
Oh, Bear Grylls.
Yeah, like, you know, the guy with all the TV crews in around, you know, I mean, he jumped in the river, like, look at me. But
I think, Mario, you said his name better the first time, the Grizzly Bears.
I have no, I, you know, like when I see the TV crews and, you know, he makes the fire, the chopper can pick him up, I say, I know how many people around him it is. But Richard, how do you prepare yourself? How do you choose and pick next adventure? And I will say, like, this is not just adventures which we are, you know, we're going to have the beautiful memories of taking pictures next to the pool and the pina colada. I mean, this is something totally different. So how do you prepare yourself? How do you pick and how do you feel before you go to adventure?
Yeah, there's a few questions in that one. Look, it's I always pick things I'm interested in. And believe it or not, I am interested in being in, you know, a war zone, for example. Yeah. That's something that interests me. But not just, it's not the war zone. I mean, I don't have a death wish. It's not the war zone that attracts me by itself. It's how do I challenge in a situation like that?
Yeah.
That is so unpredictable, so uncertain, so challenging, so fearful. You know, it's like, how do I respond to those kind of things? So really when our team, I should say, are picking adventures for me, it's really around, you know, things that interest me, but also like what can we learn from it? I know one of our most recent adventures before this whole global mess up, let's call it.
Yeah.
I was going to use a different word then, and then realized I was on my radio. I lived on the streets of India, and I worked and lived as what they call a hand pull rickshaw walla. So most people have probably heard of like an auto rickshaw or a bicycle rickshaw. And basically, this hand pull rickshaw is just that. It's a two seater wooden car that's pulled on foot.
Yeah.
Around the city of Kolkata in India. These guys are at the lowest end of the chain, I guess. They live on the streets, they eat on the streets, and they try and earn about $2 a day. Mm-hmm. So I lived with those guys for a week and mirrored their life exactly the same. And really what I'm looking for there is that, you know, how do these guys deal with the adversity? You know, because it's not just it's not just living on the streets, you know. It's not being able to earn enough money, not being able to send money back to your family. The sleeping conditions, of course, the social, the economic challenges that they have. And I was really interested in going into an experiment where people didn't have a choice, because a lot of my experiences are based on me choosing to go and do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But what I find fascinating is when people don't have that choice, how do they respond and, I guess, get by in life? So look, it's just whatever interests me and what
so
we feel
much questions
we,
for
we,
you, Richard,
we learn
you,
from.
Yeah, well, look, you know, the thing it is, like, you know, I'm writing down as you talk, writing some questions, and I'm, you know, looking at Darren, and Darren, I agree, we don't have enough hours today to just interview you, but we'll take a short break. But before we go, I'd like to say something to our listeners. You know that every Friday, Darren and I truly interviewing the unique and remarkable people who don't have the Hollywood glitter around them, red carpet, but they're achieving unbelievable stuff. Not to prove themselves, but they can share their knowledge and wisdom with all of you. One of them is today our guest, Richard Bowles. Now, something Darren struck me here, and you know that I'm making fun, not fun, but fun, but I mentioned one monk from the London, you know what I mean, with the beautiful eyes and the goatee. And he was an urban monk, but I never understood what an urban monk it is. However, Richard explained to us $2 with the monks on the street. Well, that's admirable. Richard, we'll take a short break and we'll take more questions with you. So stay with us. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Dario. Dario and I will take you to the break. And now, guest Richard from Alchemy Adventure is going to answer a few more questions and he's going to inspire you absolutely.
Alive 90.5.
It's 21 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Aaron.
Well, I'm still reading the bio, the Richard.
It goes on forever.
Yeah, like, you know, like a 50th time in a row, but, you know, still, you know, there's so many questions. So, Richard, when you have these experiences, you know, you go through your own pace and you're doing this because you want to do this. How do you pass this experience on a... everybody else on a public, on a people come to listen to you, because you're the public speaker, very well renowned public speaker. We can see that you be on a many TV stations and many radios, famous and less famous. But the thing it is, how do you convey the message of your experience through your public speaking?
Yeah, that's a great question, because obviously it seems like it's massively unrelated to perhaps the products and services that a lot of the organizations I speak to, you know, provide. And to some degree, it is far, far, far removed. But like I said at the start, like if you could really understand like the daring and the risky and the dangerous, then really it helps people be able to lean in and take on the challenges and the uncertainty of this new era of work that we're in. Yeah. Because, you know, the way I see it, this at the moment is a giant adventure. And it's been like that for a long while, but this sort of last 12-month period, you know, it's probably been more challenging than ever. Mm-hmm. So to some degree, people are on their own adventure, you know, dealing with the uncertainty and the unknown and the just a huge amount of challenges and the hyper-sped speed of work. And really what I'm teaching organizations then is that, you know, trying to understand their biggest problems, which is they're struggling to keep up with that rate of change. And they're making mistakes like trying to be proactive, for example, which is only really solving today's issues. You know, it's not what's applicable now isn't always tomorrow, unfortunately. Or they're trying to be agile, you know, and that's mm-hmm. just an outdated survival strategy, you know, because change today is beyond human, right? So it's even the fastest reaction time is not quick enough. Based on the demands that are placed on us, because they're an all-time high. You know, they've got the pressures of work, family, relationships, social lives. I mean, this leaves leaders and organizations exhausted, not just physically, but mentally. And I have a tremendous amount of experience in that.
Yeah, that is, what do you think, Darren?
Well, I'm just thinking the idea of a business or organization, even not-for-profit, and as Richard said before, this messy past year.
Yes.
I know at the start of the messiness that we'll call
we'll remember,
COVID,
yes.
that we're trying to all forget, is that a lot of companies wanted to try and predict where we would be in this pandemic, and everyone was doing things like getting letters because they thought the suburb was going to be locked down in a week's time, and hardly any of that happened as people predicted. So I'm wondering, Richard, how do you work with people to say, well, if you try and be like predicting the whole world for the next year, you may be getting it wrong, as COVID and the messy period has taught us. What are your thoughts there?
I want to continue that question.
Oh, you can go for it.
No. Later on, because I'll let Richard answer that one, because I have the little bit more difficult question for him to how he deals with the people who cries to him and they say they can't do it things. So, Richard, you have two questions now.
I do. I've got tears and I've got prediction. All right.
Yes, please.
Let's go with the first one then, prediction. Yes. Prediction is... It's not a fault. You need to be able to predict. But the thing is, we're trying to predict something. At best, it's kind of a guess. It's just an estimation. And then the other, I guess, challenge that some organizations will fall into is that they'll try and calculate and use forecasting, which is data and knowledge. But that doesn't really work very well in this new environment we find ourselves in. So really what the thinking needs to be more around anticipation. Because that's expecting something's going to happen and assuming something's going to happen and also preparing for what might happen. And I think that's the critical part there, is preparing for these challenges that might arise. And I think that the second part to that also is that they need to imagine more. I think people need to almost dream up and try and conceive future challenges. I think that's really the thinking they need to be in. And I think if you can anticipate and imagine, I think that allows you to see the future. And currently, most organizations are just in the moment.
Yes.
And that's the challenge they have, was trying to use data and forecasting and just prediction alone.
That is very interesting. So, Richard, you know, I have a personal question. So, you know, you're the man of the experience, very extreme experiences, and you have done the SLA before. To teach all of us, but you know, how do you deal with the people who say to you or come to you and say, Richard, I can't do it? And I'm really indulged and privileged having you today in the studio, because what makes you different between other public speakers who knows how to talk is that you're really, really challenging yourself, and you go to the ordeals and the hardships and the obstacles. So you know when you're dealing with this, how you feel. But when somebody comes to you and say, Richard, I can't do it. I can't do it. This is too hard for me. How do you deal with these people? How do you coach them? And, you know, is there any magic word, or, you know, you're doing something differently? Hello?
No, that's just how I answer it. I just don't say anything.
Oh, okay, sorry. Like, oh, no, I'm gonna put you on a block now, man. So I was with myself. I look at Darius like, did we lost the Richard? Okay, Richard, no, but, you know, please share with
Mario,
us.
Mario, if someone comes to me and says something like that, I've just got no response. It's like, you know, I can't do it. It's like, well,
interesting,
you're right,
interesting. You know, but, that your silence is actually was a very uncomfortable for me. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I think myself, did I swear something? Did I say something wrong? Pronounce the name differently. But this is the very first time I'm hearing the silence, and I was feeling uncomfortable. So like, okay, look at Darren. So even after the silence, so like, what does mean that silence for you when somebody comes to you, let's go say Mario Becker's me, comes to you, so like, Richard, I can't lose 50 kilos.
You're just speaking to the wrong person. You know what I mean? Like, because
okay,
everything comes down to, I believe, first and foremost, commitment, you know. And some people might say it's a passion or a why and all these, you know, a purpose. But really, it's like, what are you committed to? And, you know, commitment to me means that it's not a want. It's not a feel-good thing. It's a need. And when you need to take action, when you need to do something, that's a very different experience to wanting to do something. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes to me with that question, then they're clearly not committed, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not willing to even attempt to lean into their challenges, then they're just not committed enough, foremost. You know, that's just as simple as that. And, you know, there's people that I've spent time with, these monks in Japan that face their own mortality on a journey to enlightenment. And myself, in, you know, being in war zones and stuff, you know, we still step forward in those challenging times, you know. And it's not because we're deranged or that we actually want to or we like it. It's just because we have an unwavering commitment. And that's what people need. They need something so compelling, something that they're really committed to. That means, so when everything around you falls apart, your commitment doesn't.
That's interesting.
And I think when people come and just say, oh, I can't do it, it's like, well, yeah, you're right, because you're not committed first. Commit first and everything else works out.
So I'm just like, you know, I'm still on the silence, to be honest with you. I heard what you said, but I'm still on the silence. And, you know, I never met somebody like yourself, because, you know, I say from my experience, and, you know, we all have the trouble in life or obstacles. And, you know, I'm the one of the billion people who goes on YouTube and listen to all these motivation things and everything else. But there was always missing that in something in these motivation speakers. Everybody's successful. Everybody has the answers. But, you know, when you try to dig a little bit of a past, it's a silence. Except, you know, my mom left me and, you know, I was very poor, blah, blah, blah. But when you're facing the missiles in desert and, you know, dancing with the crocodiles, you know, I mean, whatever I was doing, Richard, you know, that gives you credibility. So, Richard, when you facing the audience, you know, when, you know, what's the most common question people ask you when you face them and you do your presentation and try to motivate people and coach them and everything else? What's the most common question anybody asks you?
Well, obviously, because of what I've done, most people, like you started off with, with why.
Well, it's different to me. I'm a big fan of yours. That's a different, you know what I mean? I'm just a sucker for these things. But yes.
Well, The thing is, the question why, it's such a profound, it's such a profound question, isn't it? Because why does anybody do anything? You know what I mean? Like, I think I went on with the psychologist I work with. I really went on a mission to try and answer that question. And ultimately what happened was is that I got really, really depressed and found out that it's just because. There's no answer to that. It's just because. And people don't like that answer. But really, if I do answer the question why, it doesn't help you. My why doesn't help you do what you need to do.
Interesting.
So why is not really that important, I don't believe. Yet we'll have a lot of motivational speakers and the like tell you that, you know, it's about the why.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've found is that with all the people I've spent time with on these adventures, they don't necessarily have a why as you like to think, meaning that they can't articulate their reasons for doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yet we're told that we need a sort of like, you know, a statement that says this is our vision, this is why we do what we do. But all the people I speak to that in some of these sort of dark situations, or people like myself, or the fact that I wrote an article not so long ago for National Geographic, which was why do adventurous people do what they do? Mm. And what I found was that when I went and researched all of these past explorers and even the modern day adventurers and looked at their media to see what they said to that question, most of them didn't have an answer to it. They said things like, you know, the most famous quotes are things like, because it's there, to knock the bastard off, you know, those kind of things. Well, that's not really a reason why, is it?
No,
and I think the people that really know what that is can't articulate it. And I think it's much like if I asked you why you love somebody, a sibling, a partner, a pet, you can't actually sum up one statement and tell me why you love that person.
Yeah.
Because the answer is you just do. And you'd do anything for that person too, right? So really it's more about a feeling. It's something that you will just do regardless. And you can't explain it, and you don't necessarily like it. It's not necessarily a passionate thing. What I do, I know my reasons, but I can't articulate it. And it's a love-hate relationship.
Love
and I think when you've got the love-hate relationship, I think you're probably on the right path.
Richard, look, I was like, you know, I'm crossing and writing new questions for you, but as you talk, I just, you know, we need to take a short break. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Richard Bowles from the Adventure Alchemy. And we'll take a short break, and more questions follows to this truly unique, awesome human adventurer, and somebody who you need to look for and, you know, be coached and guided. You're listening to Lion 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mari. We'll take a short break, and we'll come back with more questions for Richard.
Alive 90.5.
It's 22 minutes to 1, Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and Darren.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say thank you very much for tuning in today to listen to this awesome interview with Richard Bowles from the Adventure Alchemy. Today, after 6 p.m., you can come on our website, alive905.com.au, search under our podcast show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and you can hear this awesome interview with a truly remarkable man, Richard. Richard, so how do you convert your experiences into coaching?
Well, I do a lot of research, right? So as I said before, I sit down with a whole team of psychological experts, you know, because, you know, I can't just come back from an experience and just talk about the experience. I mean, it's exciting, but it doesn't help anybody, right?
Yeah.
So really it's just figuring out, you know, how I've overcome pretty much the hot topics for most organizations, which is challenge and dealing with uncertainty and the unknown and those kind of topics. And I will teach that in numerous different ways. You know, we educate organizations currently from a studio and do sort of live presentations and workshops. We have multi-tiered programs in organizations that extend for, you know, a 12 to 24 month period. We have numerous different ways of doing stuff, but really we're looking at what are the biggest challenges that leaders are having within a certain organization, and we're going after those and help people lean into those.
That's very interesting. So, Richard, what do you see as the biggest obstacle, you know, pre-COVID and during COVID for the leaders? What do you notice it is any difference in a leadership in a corporations, or it's a mindset, or it's a more fear, uncertainty before COVID and during the COVID?
I think all of those things, Mario. You know, it's just a cocktail of confusion.
Cocktail,
really,
I like people, it. Is, yes.
You know? We had this disruptive kind of era, I guess, before this COVID era, if you want to call it that. But I don't feel that this came as much as a surprise to some degree. Mm-hmm. Not the actual virus itself, because no one can predict that. But I think that, you know, the world was so turbulent before.
Yeah.
It was so unpredictable before that not much has changed, really. I think people's biggest fear at the moment, though, is if they're going to hold on to their jobs or not. And that's a whole different way of kind of thinking. You know, will my industry last this? Will I still have a job by the end of this year? You know, those kind of questions. But I think leadership on the whole has always been disruptive. It's always been uncertain. It's always been complex and challenging.
Richard, it's Darren here. Have you just stepped away from your mic a bit? We're just getting a much lower level.
No,
you're all good. Okay, we'll just power on, and Mario, back to you. Sorry, I was just double checking there.
No, because it's like, I didn't know, it's a moment of silence by Richard again to be uncomfortable. But Richard, you know, can you share with us, with our listeners, we're hearing a lot, of, particularly, you know, Darren and myself, you know, in daily newspapers, and wherever you turn head, it's everybody talks about leadership. And I truly believe that you're the one of the very few people I can point finger and say, like, you know, this person can talk about leadership. But what do you see as the best qualities of the leadership?
Well, there's many, isn't there? I mean, it's as you say, it's such a big topic because it's a very it's a very detailed one, right? Like, there's so many different ways to be a good leader. I think predominantly, though, it really comes down to self-leadership.
Yeah.
I believe that you can't lead other people until you start leading yourself. And really, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nobody will say that. That's a very specific saying. Sorry, yes, Richard. Yeah.
No, it's okay. No, it's all right. So it's just, you know, it's really about understanding yourself. I mean, and the problem is people are not willing to go there to the darker sides of themselves.
Mm.
And really, that's where most of the answers are. You know, I always say that you'll never go externally where you're not willing to go internally. So you've got to go embrace all the negative sides of you, all the fears, all the anxieties, the things that hold you back internally. And as soon as you start to clear those out of the way, then you can start to lead some other people. But, you know, if you're a very uncertain person, you can't lead people into uncertainty. It just doesn't work.
Oh, my God. You know, I just have an epiphany now. When you said, you know, if you can't look into the dark places of yourself, how you can lead somebody. And, you know, most of us, you know, including myself, we have the problem looking inside. We like to see everything outside, the other people, behavior, you know, the shopping windows, whatever comes across to us. But there is a problem with majority people I know. We don't like to talk or deal with the problems inside of us. So Richard, on that note, when you say looking inside, you know, what was your most fearful moment in your adventures? And how did you deal with this? Please share with us. I know it's many of them, but can you just isolate maybe one, please? So just one.
Damn. You know,
and how did you deal with that then?
Yeah, you know, there's some pretty fearful situations there. Look, I think without telling you a particular I can tell you a particular story. I was out in the wilderness here in Australia, actually far north Queensland, out in the rainforest, and I was actually running the length of the Great Dividing Range. Mm-hmm. There's a trail that runs across that's 5,500 kilometers long. So I pretty much just sort of packed everything in a backpack and spent 5 months sort of running about a marathon a day to get up to from Victoria up to far north Queensland. And this particular time, I'd actually just bumped into, I like to call him a farmer. I think he was far from that because he proceeded to shove a shotgun in my mouth and told me he was going to blow my effing brains out. And as much as that is horrifying, you know, as I think about that now, I it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and I can still remember the smell of, you know, gunmetal and the cold barrel and stuff. At least it was a cold barrel, I thought, you know, not a hot barrel. Someone else had gone before me.
Sorry, you're laughing here, but it is. It's like,
it's traumatizing, right? It's somewhat a very terrifying experience, but at the same time, I wasn't actually that fearful in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that by that stage in this particular adventure, I'd gone through so much adversity and setback and challenges and sort of risky situations that I'd actually built up, I guess, an array of tools that helped me deal with those kind of situations. So in a situation that was actually quite terrifying, I was actually sort of running on autopilot, lots of different strategies to keep myself under control. So I wasn't, even though I felt the fear, I wasn't that terrified. And even though I wanted to run away, I didn't. And even though I wanted sort of to attack too, I didn't do that either. And I kind of jokingly got out of that situation. And really that's just me running different strategies that help me deal with certain situations. And the way I do that is that I learn those strategies in advance. Because yeah. I can't predict a guy in the wilderness with a shotgun. Like, it's not something you put on the plan. Yeah, run the Great Dividing Range, careful man with shotgun.
Yeah.
Yes. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But what I can prepare for is that I know that along a journey like that, or if you're chasing a particular goal or you have a particular project right now, what you do know is that there's going to be a whole bunch of challenges in that. There's going to be times when you're anxious, when you're fearful, when you want to give up, when you can't be bothered. And it's those sort of things you need to focus on. So in some ways, you can predict the future, because you know how you respond to challenges in the future. And it's about going back to that dark side. It's like going, what are the things on this path that are going to hold me back? Because they're always going to be you.
Yeah.
And then work out strategies to use when those things arise. So for me in that situation, really, it was like, it wasn't really about feeling the fear and doing it anyway, because I don't like that strategy. Because once you feel the fear, you're paralyzed. You can't do it anyway. You almost need something that kicks in as that feeling comes up, a strategy that goes on autopilot and helps you control that emotion so you can have some clarity in a somewhat chaotic situation.
You're the second person I heard in past 12 years say autopilot. I read one book 10 years ago about autopilot, and I never heard before. And that's the truth about autopilot. But another thing is you spoke about this barrel, and everything else. And you know, thank God, you know, like you come here to share with us that experience. You talk about self leadership before. And maybe Darren, you want to ask something, Darren, or no?
I was just thinking it's time for a break, so we can wrap up near the top of the hour.
Yes, and so like guys, we will take a short break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and Darren, and our guest in studio, live from Melbourne, thanks to Darren Capps Davis, Richard Bowles from the Adventure Alchemy. So please stay with us, and then you can hear how you can be in touch with Richard and how he can assist you and help you to overcome obstacles and become better you, leader, and everything else.
Alive 90.5.
It's 8 minutes to one, Live 90.5, Business Insights with Mari and Darren.
I'd like to say thank you to the person who truly, truly impressed not just Darren and myself, but all of you. So please, ladies and gentlemen, please visit Richard Bowles at Alchemy Adventures. You're going to, or Adventures Alchemy. Richard, Richard? Please, Richard Bowles from the Adventure Alchemy, and you're going to truly enjoy his life stories and how he overcome his obstacles, and a truly explanation about leadership. It's come from Richard. You need to become the first self-leader. You need to dig deep into your dark places, into yourself, and deal with these things first before you are looking the outer. But Richard, you know, before I let Darren to talk to you, we like to ask you something for your assistance. Darren and myself will this year run for the breaking the world record, Guinness World Record, 67 hours on continuous broadcasting. What would you give us a tip, the best tip you can give us to survive 3 days here with us in studio?
Coffee.
Next.
I mean, you break five records, you know, I mean, world records. Well, so, like, please share with us some wisdom, man. Don't be silent, please. Don't be silent now.
I think if you guys are going to stay awake for that long, you probably need to do something illegal. Well, you know, you could, look, it's you just don't have to overthink it. I think when people go into things, like particularly thinking that's such a giant thing where you're not going to sleep, you're going to be awake for so long. And congratulations, by the way, guys, for actually attempting something like that.
Yeah.
Because you know, it is a huge thing, but you can't think of it like that. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't need to think about the end result, really. You just need to get on with it. And I think people go into things and they're already thinking about the end result, and then they're going, wow, there's so much to do between now and then. Like, how am I going to, you know, get, like for me, how am I going to keep running for so long, you know, for so many days and not sleeping, not eating correctly? It's like, you don't need to worry about that, right? As I said at the very start of our conversation today, you commit first, the rest works itself out.
Richard, you know what? I really must meet you in person. You're so infectious, even over the radio, online. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Bowles from The Adventure Alchemy. Darren has some few questions for you.
Well, Richard, how can people get to know more about you and reach out if they want your help with their business?
Well, Darren, I'm super easy to find. You've just typed Richard Bowles, which is B-O-W-L-E-S. B-O-W-L-E-S, like Camilla Parker Bowles. We're not related, though, otherwise I'd be on the crown.
How do you help them, Richard, there? How do you help them, look, people?
Yeah, I work with sort of larger organisations. That doesn't mean that we don't work with smaller organisations, but really we work with their leaders and the senior leadership team to really lean into the challenges of the modern world. We have a very a profound and deep insight into those kind of ideas, I guess. And I know it sounds unusual, but, you know, the world's pretty unusual right now. And we just believe that, you know, that inspiring and innovative leadership can't come from those conventional sources and traditional methods. They just don't work anymore. That's exactly what we do. We work with a whole bunch of different companies to help that to happen. You just find us at adventure-alchemy.com, or just, as I said before, type in Richard Bowles into Google and a whole bunch of stuff comes up.
Look, Darren and I have become very famous right now because we tagged the Richard on now Instagram posts. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find this truly unique human, somebody who I truly believe, and you know that, you know, I always come with the hardest things to impress me, but as a Richard Bowles from the Adventure Alchemy, he is the somebody you need to look for. So please tune in tonight on our website, alive905.com.au, after 6 p.m., 6:30, under the radio show Business Insights with Mari and Darren. There's going to be the podcast. And please listen to this carefully. Be in touch with Richard because you will be very, very pleased you did this. Richard, thank you very much for finding time today with us. Good luck to you in the future. I will speak to you soon.
Pleasure and good luck with the endurance feat on the radio.
You're going to know this first.
Thank you and happy Friday.
Alive 90.5.